Hey, now when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, folks, wherever you are in this world. You're listening to Blood River Radio, people. Like our commercial says, we're probably the only radio station I know in the United States that it was, we started it for one purpose, and that was to fight global white genocide. That's why we're here. That's the only purpose we're here. People, as you know, hopefully you know, it is April the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2020. It's also Easter Eve. And tomorrow, we mark Easter. That's the day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. God Almighty rose him from the dead, people. And you know, he who believes in him, like I think John 3:16 says, the first verse I ever read or memorized my whole life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever, that is a universal term. That means anybody, any and all. Whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's what it says, people. People, we have a great show for you tonight. I'll give you the outline in a minute. We always have too many announcements to get worked in. So before we go to the announcements, people, what I'm going to do, I'm going to say a short prayer, and then I'm going to read a Easter message to you from the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. So people, if you will, bear with me and pray along with me. Almighty God, the Father, God the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I dearly ask you to continue to look over us here in the United States, here in our world, here at Blood River Radio, at Liberty News Radio, all of our friends and our loved ones, Lord. We are under a direct attack from Satan, probably more than any time I've ever seen in my lifetime, probably even more than the Vietnam War or even Korea. So, Lord, if you will, also let us be aware that you sent your son, your only son, oh Lord, to come here to die on the cross. He died on the cross while we were yet sinning, while people were yet sinning. And spitting in the eye of Jesus Christ, he loved them so much, he died so that they could defeat, so he could defeat Satan forever. He defeated death forever. That's what he did. He did it for you. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ, believe in his name, and obey. To obey him, you don't need to go to church. You don't need any special combinations. When Jesus died, if you remember, if you go to the Bible, in the tabernacle, the great curtain, I can't think of the name of it now, it was ripped. It said that it would take a team of six horses on each side to tear that veil. That's what I'm trying to think of, a veil. It ripped that veil. At the moment Jesus died, the ripping of that veil symbolized there's no longer anybody between you and your Savior Jesus Christ. You can go to Jesus Christ and pray anytime you want to. And you don't need anybody but you and him. Anyway, people, I'm going to read a quick verse from the Bible. This is Matthew chapter 28. And Lord, I also said that prayer in Jesus' name. I always get so wound up for this show. You'll not believe how wound up I get for this show. My wife says I nearly jump out of my seat. I never get over it. I never get used to it. I eat, sleep, and breathe Blood River Radio in fighting global white genocide. Anyway, we're going to go to this verse. This is chapter 28, Matthew, King James Version. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see this sepulcher. I can never pronounce that right. It means tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. That's the earthquake I told you a minute ago about. I still can't pronounce that sucker. And I've reviewed it several times. Anyway, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. That's the angel speaking. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, get this, people, this sends chills up my spine. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. People, that I just read you the 28th chapter of the King James Version, and kind of get chills. But that's what it's all about, people. We know we're not really a preacher show, a church show, but I hope and pray that somebody out there can be have the Holy Spirit could work on them as they did me that February day, February the 9th of 2000, February the 8th of 2009, excuse me. Anyway, people, I'm going to go now and make some quick announcements. Hey, guess who I talked to yesterday morning? I talked to the one and only great General Nick Glastovic. And he told me to pass on to all you people listening to our radio show, he said, Happy Easter. This was a man, he's second only to my Uncle McKinley in Eastern Kentucky. My Uncle McKinley is the greatest man I've ever known, better than me and my dad both put together. The General Nick is really, really close. He certainly is. But he told me to pass on Happy Easter to you people and never give up the fight. I also talked to Daniel Borden yesterday. He's the father. Excuse me, I talked to Rick Borden. He's the father of Daniel. I got my notes backwards. Rick Borden, the father of Daniel Borden, who is still doing time in prison. But Rick says that he could be getting out any day because there's a lot of people being released from prison in these unprecedented times because of the coronavirus. I also talked to Tamara Goodwin. Jacob Goodwin, he's no such luck for him. For some reason, they really got it in for him. He doesn't look like he's going to get out anytime soon. He has an appeal that's pending that they should have already covered, but they haven't. But Tamara told me, and so did Rick, to tell y'all, thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for sending them letters, money, and your prayers. Thank you so much. Also, I would like to thank Mr. Buddy in Arkansas. He is a rock of rock. Without people like Mr. Buddy, Mr. Buddy is our number one supporter, number one donor, and we could not have this radio show with Mr. Buddy and people like that because it costs money, costs me money, costs Sam money. It costs about $350 a month just for airtime. People, is that the music already? Well. People, I didn't get through with my announcements. We will try to get through just a few when we come back. So hang on to your seats.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, we're right back. Thank you for holding on. We're going to play a video right now. Sam the Great is going to play a video. It's made by the next guest that we got coming out. So hang on to your seats and listen to this great video.
Hello, Mr. President. I'm Patty Stockman, and I want to take just a couple of minutes of your time to enlist your help in the face of this horrible coronavirus pandemic. First, let me thank you for your terrific leadership in leading the nation through this. Who knows how many lives have already been saved as a result of your actions. My husband is former Congressman Steve Stockman, and I know that more than one person, including Sidney Powell, have raised his case to your attention. Steve went to Washington twice, to Congress twice, once in the mid-90s, defeating a 42-year incumbent Democrat, and again in 2013 when he came to Washington with Mark Meadows. Both times Steve went to Washington, he came there to do what you came to do, upset the apple cart. In fact, Steve aggressively opposed and worked against the destructive agenda of the Obama administration, and he exposed corruption after corruption very publicly. Consequently, he became the target of this very unjust Department of Justice, something that you've witnessed yourself. Steve Stockman's passions are twofold, protecting our nation and international affairs. He's really pretty fearless. The guy has shot guns with Peshmerga in Kurdistan. He has led a congressional delegation to Nigeria to investigate the atrocities of the Boko Haram. And he's stared in the face of a gun barrel in both Congo and in Iraq. However, I can tell you, President Trump, he is not fearless in the face of this virus. As you know, the virus is running rampant in the prison, federal prison in Louisiana. And Steve just called a bit ago to tell me that the first case has been diagnosed in the housing unit next door to him in the Beaumont, Texas camp where he currently resides. Every time I visit, it's so hard to drive away from there and leave him someplace I know he doesn't belong. Steve is a 63-year-old type 2 diabetic. He has scarred lungs from asthma, and he has high blood pressure and is overweight. He's literally a sitting duck. I know he feels like he's shackled to the middle of the road watching a Mack truck approach quickly. President Trump, I ask you to intervene and set my husband free to come home to self-quarantine here in the house with me for 14 days, just like Senator Cruz and Mark Meadows and Americans who are returning from travel abroad, like they do, to isolate him in solitary confinement in this prison that is so unsafe is not the smart thing to do. Mr. President, I ask you, please, to intervene so that this unjust sentence that Steve is serving does not become a death penalty, and a death penalty in short order. He's a sitting duck. Thank you, President Trump. If you can't see a way to pardon my husband for this unjust sentence, please commute his sentence, as the 40-some former justice officials have suggested that you do with these nonviolent offenders. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it so greatly.
Well, hello there, Miss Patty. What an honor it is to have you on tonight. How are you doing, young lady?
Hello, Eddie. I am holding in here in the faith.
Well, I was sitting there just mesmerized by that audio clip. I certainly was. You did a fantastic job, and you kept your composure better than I could have. You know, I'm a very emotional person. That's for dang, I'm sure. But, Miss Patty, when is the last time you were able to see your husband, the Honorable Congressman Steve Stockman?
That would have been, 4 weeks ago today, 3 weeks. This is the third weekend I have not seen him. So 3 weeks ago, I guess.
Now, you live in Texas, still living in Texas, Ms. Stockman?
Yes. We're both so in Texas, and Steve is about an hour and 45 minutes from me.
Okay. You know, well, what are overall... I know they don't let you into the guts of the prison, but overall, what are the conditions of the prison now? Was it like, when I picture the place where they have the congressman, I picture it as a dank, dark, a dirty place full of violent criminals. am I too far off base there?
When he was in the prison in Fort Worth, it was more so that way. I don't know about dark and dank, but it was more heavily confined than where he is now. Though where he is now is certainly no cakewalk. I asked him I think he moved last August. They moved him to where he is now in Texas. And it's the largest men's prison camp in the whole federal system. I think he said there are about 500 or so men in the camp. He's in a federal facility that includes four installations. There's a maximum security penitentiary that's been known for decades as Bloody Beaumont, because it's in Beaumont, Texas. And then there's a moderate security of a low security and a camp where he is. And the men in this camp serve as the labor to help run the whole complex. They do the grounds maintenance, the building maintenance. They did a lot of reconstruction of buildings after the storms several months ago that had flooded Louisiana, and that part of Texas. There was a lot of flooding. So they did some rebuilding, carrying out drywall and a lot of work like that. So they do manual labor there.
Well, I know your husband, he's not quite as old as I am, but he's no young man. And we've been following him for years, Sam and I. And you probably know Rudy Davis, the prison minister.
Rudy well. Yes, he's a blessing.
Yes, Rudy is the man. He used to come on our show, but as you probably know, Rudy is... I don't know how Rudy does what he does. He works a full-time job, and he's available day and night for prisoners' call. He talks to prisoners all the time. I wish we could get someone to call our show, but it's very hard to get phone calls from prison to radio show. Miss Patty, I want to backtrack now, and if you will tell the people why, and I consider, and before I do that, I'm just going to say, people, the Honorable Steve Stockman is a hero. He certainly is. And the reason he's in prison, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the newspapers say. The man is in prison. He's in prison for the because he was on the trail of the beast, the great Satan, in Sodom and the Potomac. He was trying to bring justice. He was trying to bring people to justice, like Lois Lerner of the Federal Reserve and other criminals, under the Obama administration. But before I go down my long-winded rabbit trails, I'm going to ask Miss Patty. Miss Patty, to the people that don't know, that aren't familiar, like we are here at Blood River and with the Liberty News, that aren't familiar with your husband's case, if you will, start from the beginning as best you can and let people know exactly how your husband, I consider it a railroad job.
And so you want me to let them know what he was accused of, what he's convicted of, or how it all came about?
Start with how, when he was on the trail, Okay. You know, I know, for instance, of the what I call criminals, like Lois Lerner, yeah. You know, he was trying to bring them to justice. Start from the very beginning.
Okay, so Steve's last term in Congress was 95 to 96. I mean, no, 2000. Shoot, what am I saying? 2013 to 2014, sorry.
Miss Patty, hold that thought. We've got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
People who don't normally file tax returns but want to receive a coronavirus stimulus payment finally have a clear way to get their information to the federal government. The IRS released a new simple tax return tool that can be filled out online, geared toward low-income people who aren't required to file tax returns. The stimulus bill based eligibility for the checks on federal tax returns, sparking confusion on how non-tax filers would qualify and how the IRS would know where to send the cash. Anyone who already filed a federal tax return does not need to fill out the form. People who get Social Security, retirement, or disability benefits do not need to fill out the form. After submitting the form, you'll get an email telling you whether or not it was successful and how to fix it if it wasn't. The CARES Act President Donald Trump signed into law authorized one-time cash payments of up to $1,200 for an individual, plus another $500 for parents of children 16 or younger. This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy points and availability vary by state.
A federal judge blocked parts of the Texas temporary abortion ban, allowing some procedures to resume despite a prior appeals court decision to uphold the ban amid the coronavirus pandemic. For more than 2 weeks, the vast majority of abortion services in Texas have been unavailable, marking the first time the procedure has not been legally accessible in any U.S. state for nearly 50 years. Beginning immediately, clinics in Texas can offer medication abortion, a pregnancy termination method administered by pill, and available to patients up to 10 weeks into their pregnancy. The Department of Justice announced it's investigating a veterans home in Massachusetts where over 24 residents have died after testing positive for coronavirus. The Civil Rights Division and the U.S. Attorney's Office will conduct a joint review into how the residents were deprived of their rights to medical care. 32 veteran residents have died, 28 of whom tested positive for the coronavirus. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're going right back to Mrs. the Honorable Mrs. Patty Stockman. She is the wife of Hero. He's the hero here in Sawyer Blood River Radio concern. Of Congressman, Congressman Stockman. I was just reading about another hero of mine, Congressman James Traficant. That they're totally dissimilar in what they were convicted for. But what happened was Congressman James Traficant went against the teeth of the Great Satan. He defied the Great Satan. When I say the Great Satan, I'm talking about the deep state in Washington D.C. He was a hero in my book. Also, Congressman Steve Stockman was a hero because he was on the trail of the criminals in Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is a rift with criminals. And with that, I'm going to go right back to Miss Patty. Miss Patty, you were starting to talk about the very beginning, the great work that your husband, Congressman Steve Stockman, was on the trail of the criminals. He's trying to bring criminals to justice. Washington, D.C. So go back and start from the beginning, Miss Patty.
Sure. And let me just rethink. Steve served in Congress twice. He was in Congress in the mid-90s, having defeated a 42-year incumbent Democrat, Jack Brooks. And he went up there, and he was on the Whitewater Committee that investigated the Clintons' wrongdoings back then. But he returned, having won in 2012, he returned in 2013 and stayed until January 2015. And, of course, the Obama administration was in full swing. So he won't go into all of the actions, but he was a major roadblock to a lot of the Obama agenda in terms of trying to push things through the House. And he 2 weeks into his office, he did a press release saying that he was willing to consider all options at his disposal to be sure that the president didn't overstep his bounds to limit the Second Amendment, including, if need be, considering articles of impeachment. But he listed other options as well. And he also signed on to a House resolution to arrest Eric Holder for his gun running. He exposed a number of improprieties of Hillary Clinton. And he exposed Obama's paying. He was one of the first, or the first, to expose Obama paying ransom payment for a bird dog trader that deserted and caused put a lot of his colleagues or his comrades' lives in danger. Anyway, he was just a thorn in the side constantly. And as you said, he called for the arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress and following precedent from years and years earlier where that had been done. 2 weeks later, the FBI was at our apartment door. It was a new FBI team. He'd already been under investigation for about a year, and they renewed the investigation. They convened three grand juries trying to piece together some indictment of him. Finally, a fourth grand jury indicted Steve, and they arrested him a year later in spring of 2018. He was found guilty on these really fabricated charges that the Justice Department wove together. The prosecutors wove together this fallacious story of felony, very much like we saw Congressman from California that did the impeachment hearings.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Just like the impeachment hearings, and just like they did with the impeachment, the government controlled what could be heard at trial, what could be presented as evidence. They tightly controlled and put a lid on Steve and his defense team. They couldn't bring up anything political. And they just had a gag order on that, could not even mention the name of Lois Lerner, even though her former IRS nonprofit division was intimately partnered in the whole case against my husband. So actually, 2 years ago, tomorrow, the jury came back with a guilty verdict, and they slapped him in federal prison immediately. He wasn't even sentenced until 7 months later in November.
You know, people, I hope you're listening to that. Here we have a sitting United States congressman. And I go back and use my terminology, my old Tennessee Hill terminology. The congressman was hot on the trail of these lawbreakers. And I hope, I don't want to get too far afield like I'm notorious for these rabbit trails. But Mrs. Stockman mentioned, I think, Whitewater, where, you know, the Clintons. Oh, Adam Schiff. Adam, is that the name you were searching for?
Yep, that's
Adam. Okay. Well, thank you, Sam. Sam is a wizard at finding bits of information like that. He can do anything. I'll send him a video 20 minutes before showtime, and he'll have that sucker going.
Wouldn't come to mind. Adam Schiff, you know, cut his. He came out of being a DOJ prosecutor. That's where he trained, and that's why the tactics were identical.
Well, you know, I can tell you, Ms. Stockman, your husband, people like him in Congress are so rare. That's why he had such a hard time. And I don't want to go on a rabbit trail, but you mentioned the Clintons. I mean, there's no greater criminals and enterprise in the world than the Clintons. I'm going to go back and talk about Whitewater. A lot of our younger audience probably doesn't mention Whitewater. I think you said that your husband was in there with the Obamas, you know, with the Clintons, probably when all this stuff was going on. The Rose Law Firm, when the Clintons law firm that the Clintons, they both worked at in Little Rock, and they shredded truckloads of evidence that against them. They're also running this MENA. I bet you a dollar your husband was in on that. The Clintons had this. They were flying these. The government was flying drugs into the United States in this little airport over there in the middle of the Ozarks in MENA, Arkansas. And they were trading. They were trading high tech military weapons for the drugs. This was going on under our illustrious President Clinton and carried on during Obama. You know, and Miss Patty, you mentioned somebody who I just despise. You mentioned Eric Holder, and the Fast and Furious gun running, Miss Patty. I mean, this guy, this Eric Holder was directing drugs. He was directing an operation they were bringing. He was trading firearms of all types. So people in trading the firearms for drugs coming across the Mexican border. And I'm already running my mouth too much, but I'm gonna go back to you, Miss Patty. I bet your husband was trying to prosecute that.
Well, I can't really remember the details that far back. Steve could talk to that much more in terms of the 90s and the Clintons. But this time around, yeah, he was like a pit bull watchdog, and I know that he was a major thorn in their side. In fact, the headlines after he had done the press release saying, you know, he would even be willing to consider impeachment. Or it may have been a couple of weeks after that when he brought Ted Nugent as his guest to the State of the Union address. He was on the front page of a couple of the papers, and the headline on Politico, I think, was, or maybe it was The Hill, was Stockman is top needler to the Obama administration. So he was constantly on their radar screen. But let me jump forward and come back to the question you originally asked me about what it was like where he is. And I told you that he's in this prison camp, but he just recently wrote me, because our fear right now, obviously from the video that you played, the audio for the audience, is that he's in harm's way. The coronavirus is running rampant in prison in Louisiana. They've already had 8 deaths there. But so I think it was last week he wrote me kind of description of what their housing is like. He had told me the housing units are like huge, big cattle barns. And they don't have cells in them. They're totally open. He said it's like being out on the range, except they have, in a part of the building, they have concrete partitions that are about 4 feet tall, and they're open. And they have two bunk beds and a single bed in this little stall, if you will, if you want to compare it to the cattle barn, stall, along with a table and lockers, so that he said that a bunk bed is on one side of the stall. I'm reading you what he wrote, while another bed's against the wall. And if both inmates sit on their beds, your feet can easily touch. With the lockers and small table, the room is a little space to function, and normally you have to wait while one person dresses, then take your turn dressing, and likewise you have to stagger getting up and going to the to shower because there's not a room for more than one to move around.
Miss Patty, we have to go to another quick break.
All right.
Just hold that thought. We'll be right back.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Okay, people, we're going to go right back to the Honorable Mrs. Patty Stockman. She's going to go right back to where she was. I hope she didn't lose where she was. Go ahead, Miss Patty.
No, I didn't lose where I was. So I was describing the living conditions where former Congressman Steve Stockman is housed right now. people think of prison camps. I've heard it many times as kind of country clubs. Well, let me tell you, there are no tennis courts and no baseball diamonds. There's nothing that's like a camp there. Those guys are worked, and if you go out on FDA's, the USDA, Department of Agriculture's website, they have federal guidelines that mandate the amount of living space that a mature sow must have, and a sow must have 37.6 square feet of living space. Well, Steve and his fellow inmates there calculated how much space they've got, and they've got, once you take the space that they're assigned and subtract what's taken up by beds and lockers, they have about 16 and a half square feet of living space per inmate. So not even about half the amount of space that's required by law for a pig. And the point is, they're in these buildings, and they're locked down. They're not allowed to go outside and even walk around in the fresh air. They're locked inside with one another, so there's no social distancing even possible there. And that's why the virus is running rampant. It's now in 33 federal prisons, and as I said, 8 inmates have already died in, I think almost all, in the Louisiana prison, which is less than 2 miles away from where Steve is. And that's why I recorded that video and this week put out a press release, because early in the week, 22 high-visibility conservative leaders sent out a petition to the White House Coronavirus Task Force calling on them to have a care about these nonviolent, non-sexual, sex-offending white-collar prisoners that would be no risk to anyone, to society, to send them home for home confinement and get them out of harm's way of this virus. So literally, my pursuit right now is to do everything I can to get Steve out of that prison and home in the house with me, as all of the rest of us Americans are doing, to stay out of the way of this virus. I see it as a life and death matter for Steve.
It is a life and death matter. And Mrs. Patty, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you said that the congressman was convicted about 2 years ago, did you say?
Yes, 2 years ago to tomorrow.
Well, how much support has he had? This is a two-part question. How much support is he getting from the general public, his constituency, and support from his fellow congressmen, if any of them have the morals to stick up for him, or are they all too afraid? And I guess the third part of my question, how can people get to you? You have a website to raise money. I know Sam runs runs announcements for you on Liberty News Radio all the time. God bless him. Tell the people how we can, what can we do? What can the people in general do to help you out? Anyway, calling the president, calling their congressman, raising money, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so he's had quite a bit of support from the general populace through shows like yours. The public has gone onto our website, defendapatriot.com, and there they can sign a petition to the president. So we've got over 1,000 names have signed. It really ought to be thousands of people, actually. And there at the website, you can also give, if you would, to help defray the legal costs, which have just been exorbitant. And at some point here, if we have time, I can give you the status of where the case is. To answer your question about his former colleagues, I went to the Hill and sat down with a number of his former colleagues over the first year and a half that he was in prison. And honestly, many of them were stunned. They had no idea what had happened to Steve. But to a person, they felt like there's nothing that they could do. And none of them, quite honestly, were willing to look into it to determine, okay, what's going on? Is this guy really, is this really, is he guilty? And is this, Is this over punishment, and what can we do? Could we even mention that on Hannity when we do his radio show, right? Or Rush Limbaugh, if they happen to be a guest on Limbaugh, or any other talk show? No, they haven't been willing to do that, and I've been baffled by that. However, in this most recent press that I've done the last 2 weeks to call attention to the fact that, hey, my husband's overly heavy-handed sentence of 10 years is going to turn into a death penalty if something isn't done to get him out of there, out of that cooped-up environment, and other people like him that have no business being in prison when they could be at home with their families, locked up in their home, out of away from the virus's way. Anyway, so at least two, and I think possibly a third, even a Democrat, former colleague of Steve's, have contacted the White House to ask them to intervene to get him out of harm's way. I don't think I don't think they're calling for pardons. I don't think they're they feel like they can. For some reason, they feel like they can't do that. Now, on the other hand, a lot of people have called for his pardon. And if your listeners want to go to defendthepatriot.com, I have posted there links to all the letters. There have been a number of letters of very prominent people that have written letters to the president asking him to consider pardoning Steve. That includes Tom DeLay and, James
Tom DeLay's a good man.
James O'Keefe, just a whole bunch of people whose names they'll recognize. And anyway, so they wrote those letters. I had them send them to me so that I could get them to the president, and tried several different avenues to get them to him. Sidney Powell has spoken out of the atrocities against Steve. So I know the president's aware of the case, and prayerfully, one of these days he will pardon Steve. But in the meantime, whether he's pardoned or not, I would like him to be at home. In fact, the president has received letters from organizations, ranging from the ACLU to conservative justice reform organizations that had called upon him to commute the sentences of people like Steve Stockman, but they don't name him, but nonviolent offenders who pose no threat to society, who are at risk of this virus, to commute their sentences. And that's the same holds true with over 40 former justice officials, including most more liberal names than you want to call, have called for the same thing from the president. So it's not just me, a lone voice in the wilderness, right?
You know, Miss Patty, you said, I asked you earlier, have any of his colleagues come to his aid? And you said they felt like, a lot of them said they felt like there was nothing they could do. There's so many parallels between your husband and James Traficant. When he, you know, when he got in trouble, a little trouble, and he wasn't committing a crime, he got a fellow off the hook. They were, this is a little aside. There was a fellow, I can never pronounce his name, he's Polish, Demenczuk, I believe it was. He was a citizen of Youngstown, Ohio, I believe it was. The congressman Traficant was of Youngstown, Ohio. He went to Israel in an Israeli court, said the guy was innocent. He was not guilty of all these atrocities that he was being accused of. But because the congressman did that, against the advice of all of his other congressmen, told him, he said, James, you need to let this alone. It's going to ruin your career at best. And lo and behold, yep, that's what happened. He got the beast, the great Satan, the deep state, on his case. Miss Patty, have you ever heard of the name of a fellow by the name of Jim Rothstein? He was a former detective in New York City. This is right up his alley. Have you ever heard that name? He's pretty well known. We used to have him on our show every now and then. If you hadn't, I'll tell you about him.
No, I haven't heard that name. Do we want to take the time to go into him? At this point,
I'll tell you what. Continue on. You know what? You're right. We're almost out of time. You certainly are.
I know your time flies really fast.
It sure is. Well, Miss Patty, you're absolutely right. God, we only have seconds. I'm going to, if would you mind if I give Jim Rothstein your contact information? I think there's a possibility he might be able to help you. He's really good.
He's not an attorney. He's something else.
No, ma'am. But I'm going to tell you what the guy knows. He has more connections than anybody you've ever seen. He knows where all the bodies are buried. I'll see if I can get in touch with him and tell him about your case.
Yeah, let's talk about that offline.
We surely will. We surely will. Miss Patty, thank you so much. God bless you. You almost have me here in tears. I certainly hope that your husband can get out pretty soon and come home where he deserves to be with his precious wife. Thank you again, Miss Patty. Thank you, Sam, for all you've done to get this show on this first hour. People, we'll be right back. We're going to transition to the second hour. We're going to bring on Gene Andrews, Mr. Marine Jeans, and Monica Schaefer. Be right back.